Happy New Year, you guys! It is a new year, and you know I love so much all the New Year things. I love the goals. I love the vision boarding. I love all the things because it's so exciting to think of what we can be and how we can impact this year. But I know some of you are on board with me with that, and some of you are like, oh, I hate the new year. I hate making the resolutions and the goals, and it's so scary and it's stressful because maybe I've failed at them and I'm just not going to make them this year. And so I know some of you are like paralyzed by goals, and I get it. Today, my guest is going to help us through that. Today's guest is Jackie Carr. Jackie Carr is a goals coach. She is a goal guru. That's what I'm going to call her. Jackie is giving us some tangible steps of how to set intention for this year. She is a public speaker about goals. She is leads hikes, and she leads all these beautiful things about how to help women know that there is room at the table for all of us, that all of us have gifts and talents and purpose and impact, even if ours looks different than someone else's. And so today I have her on here. She's sharing all the tips and all the things for New Year. I am so excited for this conversation, you guys.
Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys.
Hey, today, Jackie, thank you so much for coming on. As we talk about the new year, I love the new year. It's my most favorite time of the year. I love the goals. I love preparing. It's like I get a spring in my step when I think of all the things that we can do and how we can make an impact. But I know that not every listener on here feels that way. I think sometimes it can be stressful to think of like, oh, what if I don't make that goal? What are my goals supposed to be? What do I even want to do? And so I feel like you are the guru of helping women figure that out. You do this in your life. You do this personally. And so I cannot wait to pick your brain on just all things goals, all things intention, and just how to do this well and to do it just with passion and purpose. So I can't wait to talk to you about that. So before we get into that, I'd love for you just to tell people about you and kind of what you do, what you love, what's happening in your life right now.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's truly a pleasure and an honor to be invited onto your podcast to speak to your people. So I'm so grateful to be here. I am a goal coach. You got it. I coach the goals. And I like to create a distinction that I'm not a life coach. I can't coach your whole life. It's not my job. It's not my gift. My gift is to really listen to the request you're making of yourself, the request you're making of the world, and how we can put that into a tangible form like a goal and unravel the, you know, fear of failure or the drama that comes with goal setting that perhaps we've had in the past, and step into our personal power and truly offer our unique gifts. I do believe everyone has unique gifts to offer. And sometimes I think we forget, be it on Instagram or Facebook or in comparison world like the Joneses. And I really love to be a stand for people's vision and goals, even if they've forgotten or if a moment they feel fear, I get to be that coach that can still hold the vision with them. And I love what I do. I bring it to stages as well to speak publicly. And I am one of those weird people that loves a microphone. I love speaking on stage. So it's my truest passion and my honor to share it with everybody. Happy New Year.
Right. I appreciate that because I am so much like you and it makes people laugh. They're like, what? I'm like, no. I was like, that's where I come alive because it's sharing that story with others. So I want to dig into some tangible ways. So let's go for those who maybe have their notebook, because this is a session I'd like for everyone just to have a notebook and are kind of writing down. I know a lot of people listen in their car, but this is something I'd love to come back to because I think they'll really want to take notes of just tangible ways that they can really start this. Let's go back to what you said, that you want to help people really discover maybe their gifts that they forgot. And I think that's so huge for women especially, that sometimes, whether it be life or family, that's kind of been our main priority, we got to go back to what we love. And so I'd love for you to give us some tangible ways of how do we find that again?
Yes, it's so true. We can get lost in many identities, becoming a mother, a new job title. Perhaps you got married, perhaps you got divorced. All of these identities can play with our emotions as well as how we think we quote unquote fit into the world. So first and foremost, let's get real. It's New Year's. Resolutions are all the rage. I do not do resolutions. I want you to know that language never works for me because it brings me into the new year quite judgmental. Hmm. I say, what do I want to change? Change, change. What do I want to resolve? Resolve, resolve. I do love a blank slate, but I think we have to do some digging first before we can write down what we do want. So first things first, let's talk about fitting in versus belonging. Cue Brené Brown, the fairy godmother.
Yes.
Ability. I love her quote that there's a difference between fitting in and belonging. So let's speak to choosing a mantra that supports us in the new year. Instead of trying to fit into what other people are doing or fit into this perfect Pinterest idea, I believe we can explore the quote, I belong now. I belong now. For so long, I am a master chameleon. Ooh, Christy, I can fit into a lot of places I shouldn't be. And I did that through my 20s, right? I think a lot of us did to really search out and feel out who we are. So when I started to show up here, I moved to Colorado. I didn't have any friends. I was in my 30s. Making friends in your 30s is weird as it is. And I started to show up to events and I would say, I belong. And then when I was talking to someone, I wouldn't creep them out, so to speak, but I would in my head say, you belong too. And so it wasn't about proving anything. It was about being here on purpose with purpose. I belong. Trying that on in the beginning of the year. What do you think?
I love that. I think that's so huge because how many times do we go into a setting where we feel like we don't belong? And it's that, you know, imposter syndrome that we talk about. Yep. That whether we're doing something, and I think it hits me when I'm trying to do something that I feel is too big for me. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. I can't do that. Like, am I credible to do that? Do I have all of the, you know, the background and the knowledge? And am I able to pursue this because, wait a second, people are going to think, well, why is she doing that? You know, how can she teach or how can she do this if she doesn't have years and years of research? And I'd love for you to speak to the person who maybe wants to do something new and feel like they belong, but don't, they might say it, but they don't feel it. And how do we get rid of that imposter syndrome? So we're like, hey, I can do this. I think for me, it's just the more that I hear, just try it. Like the world, like if I try it and it fails, like life goes on. No one's probably even going to know. I mean, just try it. So for me, that's kind of been my mantra. People always joke that I'm fearless. Like I don't fear failure, but that is not true. I actually hate failure. I love to win. I'm very competitive in that way. I was always played sports. And so I like things to work out. We all do. But I think I'm in this place now where I'm just okay to try. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but I just try. So tell me what you think about that. Tell me a little bit about just trying.
Yeah. When we try to delete fear, we're in for an uphill battle for the rest of our lives. Fear is a part of the human experience. Fear is a part of who we are. And it was ingrained in us, of course, to keep us alive, right? I live in Evergreen. There's a mountain lion out there. Keep my children inside at dawn and dusk. Got it. That's a real fear that I have and I honor. However, I have found fear creeps in often for me as well. I think people look at my life and they're like, what the hell? You're launching so many things. I would be scared to do those things. And I'm like, well, I'm scared.
Yeah.
But I do it anyways. And I feel when I started to embrace fear versus delete it, because I did, I tried for a long time to delete fear or say, once I'm not scared, then I will do this. Once I'm not scared, then I'll be happy. That is quite the record I had on repeat. And life got real hard when I was waiting not to be scared. And I find the universe also challenges those beliefs often. So careful what you place in front of the universe to challenge you. And so for me, fear is something I bring with me. I wake up or I'm launching a new project, I'm speaking on a stage. I say, fear, I see you. Good to see you again. Anything to teach me today? And then I choose what I want to rock the stage with or step into a one-on-one session with. Is it courage? Is it confidence? Intuition, listening. I bring fear and courage. I bring fear with me, acknowledgement, so it loosens the grip. And I also say, and today I'm brave. Because here's the truth. When we try those things, we become the next version of ourselves. So for a lot of us in transition, because change is our only constant, so most of us are, we have to recognize that, Christy, when you try that thing, when someone listening goes to a new fitness class or goes to an event she usually wouldn't go to or submits her application for something she'd never think she'd get, whatever it may be, this is where we tip into the next chapter, the next evolution of who we are. I'm on version like 44. Right, and right. This allows us to know it's uncomfortable there, especially when we like how things work. That's where control plays a tricky part. And yet when we can step into bravery and scared at the same time, I find this is where we become the next version of who we're meant to be. And we get to meet ourselves in those moments. So fear and bravery, they play hand in hand, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think being vulnerable about that and to be able to say, even though I'm doing this, I'm actually quite scared it might fail. Or just letting people know, because I think we all have the same thing. I think people look at maybe influencers or people on stage and they think, oh, I could never be like that. And you might not, because maybe your talents and gifts and passions aren't like that. But just because you don't speak on a stage, just because you don't have 500,000 Instagram followers, just because you don't do the things that you might think are really impactful, you still have gifts and talents. And that, I think, is such a heartbeat for me, is to tell women, do not compare your gifts, your talents to anybody else's. They all give life to others in their own way. I'd love for you just to speak about that for those of us who have different gifts and talents. We might look at someone and go, oh, I really wish I had hers, or she's making a bigger impact, or does my voice really matter? I'd love you just to talk to those people.
Well, the answer is yes, your voice does matter, period. And let's go back to tangible tools. The ability to recognize that your strengths are your own is going to be a power move. A lot of people in my work with me, I make them. I offer them. I am somewhat forceful though, so warning. I offer an exercise to write down your top 10 strengths. We do this in my 7 weeks of bliss program in my Rock Your Bliss company. And I do this with a lot of women about to launch their business or in a pivot. I say, cool, what are your top 10 strengths? It's a very corporate question. Most people kind of shudder when I say it.
Right.
And you list 1 through 10 on the page. And I find a lot of people start with things that you would have at work. I am a powerful leader. I'm a great listener. I'm really good at Excel. And then I'm like, cool, what else? And when we can start to recognize that our strengths are most likely going to be wrapped in a unique language, it really allows us to even look at our strengths beyond how we show up in quote unquote work. How are you a strong parent? How are you a strong partner? How are you a strong friend? All of these strengths are not compartmentalized in different domains in your life. They are who you are. Write down that you feel strong when you're making eye contact with your child. I do. Write down that you feel strong when you cry. That has been salved for my soul when I used to hide crying, and I am a very emotional person. I'm strongest when I'm feeling. And these are the strengths that I think start to give us that understanding of our uniqueness. It isn't clear, simple words like, I'm an achiever, I'm an activator, I am knowledgeable. I love all those too. And get to the heart of the matter. Get clear on when you literally feel physically strong, emotionally strong, and spiritually strong. When we're offering from this place, this is where I find our language comes naturally. Our gifts begin to feel in a flow even if it's something we've never done before or something we've never said before. So writing down when you feel strong starts to let you start to speak about your strengths and live more alignment with them.
Yeah, I love that. I've had a time where we have asked people what our strengths are, because sometimes it's very hard. Like if you were to say, what are your strengths? We all get nervous and we don't want to be braggy, or we don't even recognize the strengths that we have. And so asking people around you, what are my strengths? What do you think I do well? What do you always ask me? Like if someone always asks me to do a certain thing, that's probably what I'm good at. So I think asking others around us too, asking a core group, help me find some of those strengths. So if I'm sitting here and I'm writing this and I'm like, okay, it's January. Maybe for some people, they've never made goals before, or they've never really dreamed about their life. After they make kind of that strength setup, how would you encourage them what to do next?
Great. So now that you're on this page of feeling pretty strong, I hope you do. Way to go. I would then move into what I love to lead, which is called the Power of Knowing What You Want circle. It's from the work I lead called Light Your Leadership. I can tag it in the show notes for you. And it's the most simple circle. You draw a huge circle on the page. I have them all over my walls. And inside you write want, and outside you write don't want. And you ask yourself, perhaps, what do I want for 2020? Make it a year circle. What do I want for this new decade? And what do I not want? What's outside your circle? So inside, perhaps you start writing financial stability, using my strengths for impact and good. I want hot sex. I want amazing conversations with my friends. You can write all these down. Those are all inside my circle. Outside the circle could be drama, gossip. Outside the circle could be comparison, mindless Instagram scrolling. And this is where you start to get clear that what we speak out loud creates. Are you speaking more from outside the circle or inside? Are you creating more from what you do want or from what you don't want? From reaction or from responsibility? And I love this exercise because so many people are like, well, I don't want to write outside the circle. I'm just going to stay inside. I'm like, oh, cool. You do that. And yet the circle is a boundary. The circle is a boundary. We have to know what we don't want so that we can move back into what we do want. And I find the inside of the circle guides my vision and goals. It guides my vision boarding. It guides how I talk to my partner. It guides how I talk to my business partner and really starts to allow me clarity. A lot of times people have not asked themselves in a long time, what do I want? They're so wrapped up in what our children want, what other people want. As people pleasers, I know I'm in that group. People Pleasers Anonymous. We're all in recovery. And yeah, right? Hand raising. And when we do that, we forget to ask what we want. I believe in the ability to align with other people and go their way at times, as long as you're in agreement. What happens though, if we don't know what we want, if we don't know what matters to us, if we don't know what we value, we'll live someone else's want circle. We'll live someone else's vision and values. And so this is a clarifying exercise to start to even listen to how you're speaking out loud what you do want.
That's awesome. So take me from that circle. So the next step after I get out of that circle and I say, okay, here's what I want. And maybe they're not, maybe it's whatever, what you kind of said. Financial freedom, being a great parent, like how do you make those more specific, I guess, and then actually do them? Because I think we can dream about those things all the time, and that's where we get stuck, and that's where I get stuck sometimes. I'm a dreamer, and so I might say, I want to change the world. I want to do this, but then I have to make them smaller goals so I can actually get crap done, you know? And I think that's sometimes where we get stuck, especially for those who are not the most detailed people. I am not. So I have to put it in a way for me that says, what is the next right step to get me to this specific goal? So I'd love you just to even hone it in even more.
Yeah, all dreamers should call me because I'm a doer. And I think it's nice to have yin and yang in mm-hmm. our life, right? We don't have to become someone different. First, though, before we write a goal down, we have to recognize if we believe we can have it. And there's a lot of beliefs we're all operating on. Our belief system is real. And so when I say, I want to have financial stability, do I believe it? Do I believe I can have it? Do I have old stories on repeat that money's hard? You better work, girl. And I sing that runway song. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I want to be a great parent. You're right. You got to get specific, because what that looks like to your neighbor or someone on Pinterest is sure as hell not how I do it, to be clear. And I find that getting really clear on what that looks like also allows you to say, oh, yes, I can do that. So when you dream, you start to see it. I would say close your eyes inside the circle. I'm a great parent. What are you doing? What's financial stability look like in your life? Are you making it rain handbags? Are you giving back to your favorite charity? Both are equally great, by the way. I'm not judging either. And the ability to understand that that belief is going to support your goal. So understanding the vision of seeing yourself as a great parent, what you're doing, starts to get you more specific with your want circle. I say get real detailed all up in that circle. And then as you ask for goals, first of all, let's get clear. Let me ask you, as a dreamer, what does the word goal mean to you, Christy?
So goal for me is actually getting it done. So I'm a dreamer and a doer, but for me, it's getting that specific dream done. So for me, it's putting it in very tangible steps. I don't even know the right word, but where I can look back and go, yeah, I accomplished that. So let's say I want to be a great, like say I want to be a great parent. Well, what does that look like to me? For me, I parent very differently. That doesn't mean that I'm probably making homemade dinners every night or cookies when my kids come home. That's just not the parent I am. I've always felt a little bit of guilt for that because I'm not this, maybe most nurturing mom, but I'm fun and we have dance parties and we play sports and, you know, I'm the mom that, if you want to come over and play basketball and you want your kids to be coached in basketball and you want your kids to be coached in all these different, that's me. I'm that mom. But I'm not the mom who, you know, is maybe going to have like cutouts in their lunchboxes of their different foods and those kind of things. I mean, we're just throwing crap in. So, you know, for a long time, just what you said is I had to be okay with who I was as a parent, that I am not like most of my friends, quite honestly. But I am the perfect parent for my kids. But I had to really believe that. As much as I said that, I didn't maybe believe that, because you do look at others and you do compare and you look at the Pinterest, and I don't even look at that anymore because it doesn't serve me. It's outside my circle. That does not serve me. So for me, I would have to get really, you know, specific. So I'm just taking parenting right now. For me, it's putting away my phone when my kids are at home, you know, after they get home from school, maybe until they go to bed. Am I great at that? No. But that's a goal that I had this year that I wanted to make sure that I was present. It's looking in their eyes 5 minutes a day. It's making sure that I'm available to go to their, you know, their games, because that's a big deal for me. It's something that we do together. It's making Sundays a down day for us. It's a movie night on Sunday nights, and that's something that we commit to. Those are things that are tangible that I can look back and go, okay, I wanted to be a present parent, and here are the goals or the steps that I can do to get there. So that's kind of how I look at it. So it's, for me, I have to make these specific ways that I can do that, just so that I'm not scattered all over the place. That helps me. I don't know if that's for other, you know, for other people or how you see that, or if you have another way. But that's just helped me in kind of in the way that I do it.
I hope it's not for all people, by the way. Goal setting is a very unique approach to living your life. And so I think that's what is interesting. A lot of people are looking for the right way to do goals. Let me tell you something, y'all. There's no right way to do goals. I'm here to offer you the notion to find your own goal setting style. And how we do that is just like Christy. She started to look at, have goals served me in the past? They're tangible, specific steps to become who I want to be in the world. That's your definition. Yeah. You all listening can have your own definition. My definition's different. Goals are requests I make of myself and the universe that tip me into the next version of myself every single time, even when I fail, even when I succeed. And so I love my goal being a request, because a lot of the times I have to ask myself, do I still want this?
Yeah, right.
Especially if it's a goal I put out in the future. So yes, I do have a format with goals. I always set goals in the present tense affirmative. Mm-hmm. I am by when.
Yes.
Yes. So I think I know the present tense creates an alignment in my spine. I step into this statement. Everything after I am creates. Let's use it wisely. I put a deadline on there. Oh yeah. I am an accountability junkie. If I don't have a date, if I do maybe, someday, one day, yeah, I'll be 80 still talking about it.
Right.
And so the date creates accountability. A lot of my people trip up on the date. They're like, yeah. I don't like it. I don't like that. I'm like, yeah, you don't, because it creates responsibility mm-hmm. and it gets us in action. And a lot of my goals, Christy, I have no idea how they're going to happen. I have no idea. I want to write a book and I want to run a half marathon next year. With my calendar right now, there is no book writing. I have no idea in this moment how that will happen. I do know there will need to be tangible blocks to write or writing trips. And so this is where I find goals start to provide you with conscious insight of how you want to be living, while also recognizing most likely with the goals you've written down, you might not have met the person who will get you there. You might not have met the part of yourself that will get you there yet. And there has to be a beautiful balance between giving and receiving, or your goal setting being one-sided or hustly will feel aggressive, narrow-minded, and hard. And then we'll say, I don't like goals. I've done it a million times.
Right, right. Yeah. I have two questions for you on that. So the first thing I love that you said is that everyone goal setting is different. And I think I run into this. We do a vision boarding session with some women at my house, and I love it. It's my favorite thing. We cut out magazines and do all the beautiful things. And that's what I love, because I'm creative. But it scares my friends who are like creativity in that sort of way is not their favorite. So they don't want to do it because they're like, I don't actually like cutting out pretty pictures. I like numbers. I like stats. I like those kind of things. And I'm like, great. You put a freaking Excel spreadsheet up there on your vision board. Like, you don't have to do what I do. Like, I love to look at these beautiful things, but that hinders them. And so then it paralyzes them to go, oh crap, I can't do it the way she does it. And so then it's not right. Where I always want to give people the freedom, what you just said is that goals mean different things to different people. And the way that they do it is totally different. Another thing you said is, you know, tangible ways and just in a deadline. So for some of our bigger goals, I know that that's not going to happen for me in a while. Like writing a book for me means a deadline every Tuesday I'm writing. But sometimes some other goals I know are a little bit bigger that might not have a specific deadline. And if you, let's say you wanted to write a book, I'm just using you as an example, but other things get in the way. Do you give yourself permission to go, oh crap, I didn't get that goal done. Can I scoot it out a little bit? Or can it be my goal, you know, in a couple months or next year? Like, it didn't get done the exact date. What's your permission for yourself when maybe you don't hit a goal, or you're like, oh, that's just not fitting into my life because maybe a crisis happened or something happened? How do you manage that?
Okay, two things, because you asked two questions. Let's go back to the vision boards for a hot second as I'm looking at four of them.
Okay.
Vision boards, I totally get it, aren't for everyone. However, I want to challenge everyone that your brain actually sees in pictures. Your brain sees in imagery. I understand your friends have been living a very Excel numbers driven life. We all need those people. I need those people. I need Excel people in my life. And vision boards are a way for us to dream and then put those dreams into an Excel doc. So I would actually challenge them to do both, as our brains really see in pictures. And maybe their vision is of their next vacation, or their vision of the house they want to own, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be this huge life vision. You can vision board one item. I love vision boarding for that creativity aspect. We are a very screen tech number driven world right now. Get some glue, grab some glitter, the herpes of arts and crafts, do it. Really challenge yourself. And so I think that's so fun to play. I love my people that are like, I've never vision boarded. I don't like it. I'm like, cool. Well, this is a way for you to check in to make sure you don't like it. Come try it.
Right.
Not that I'm a vision board recruiter or convert, but I do think it's fun to play with. And I've had so many people send me their vision board and say, I can't believe this happened already. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know, girl, I know. And then on the flip side, I want you to know I failed that book goal like 22 times. So, I change the date often. And I find my failures are a way to fail forward. I think I love some alliteration. So I'm a fail forwarder. When I fail, I obviously hate it. And I go into a rejection spiral, whatever it may be, whether I rejected my own self or someone else rejected me. It happens all the time because I'm very much alive. I'm very alive in success and failure. I believe if you're not failing, you're not living. That is really what I believe. And the ability to understand that when I haven't written that book, I haven't put it in my calendar. I have not done those Tuesday deadlines like you're talking about. I have let other things come forward, launch, live instead of a book. And yet every time I try to take it off the sheet, it's like, don't leave me. I listen. My intuition says, don't delete it. Move the date. I say, okay. And while I hate moving the date because I love checking things off, you guys, there's a difference between your goal sheet and a to-do list. Ugh. Your to-do lists are things you can get done in a day, if not 3 days. Your goal sheet challenges you, requests of you to be brave. And so while the book is not written, I do have one that's half written, which is fun. And I don't even know if that's the one I'll birth first. And how cool, though, to explore what it would feel like when I do close my eyes and say, I am an author. I am a published author. Self-published, perhaps published with a press. Who knows? I get to continue to lean into that. However, I have changed that goal numerous, numerous times. I give myself permission to be a beginner often and to fail forward numerous times because I change a lot. And a lot of goals I write down, Christy, they get deleted because I wrote them in a place where I was a different person. And I say, actually, I don't want that anymore. Actually, I have two young children and getting on a plane to Bali sounds like hell. So perfect. I'm going to stay in my nook in the mountains and walk the forest because that feels good right now. And I find we can play with that certainty in our values and the uncertainty in our goals as a way to ground, as well as be open to where we're going.
I love that. I think there's such freedom in that and such permission. And so for those, you know, we're all different personalities. I've done a million different personality tests, the Enneagram, all these different things. And it helps me so much to understand how to communicate with others who do not think the same as me. It's like in my relationship with my husband. We communicate so differently. Like something he says and I hear are opposite. He's like, I did not even say that. I'm like, yeah, you did. He's like, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. So I think those of us who think about goals and dreams and just because we think differently, a lot of us are afraid to go after it because we're afraid. We love that due date and we love that deadline. If we don't do it, we feel like a failure. And so we don't even want to make it because we're too scared to fail. I think that's a lot of people. I think some people love the dreaming and love the goals, but it never gets done. Like it literally just sits there and it's beautiful on a vision board. And then at the end of the year, you're like, oh, that was on there? Shoot, I didn't even do anything to get it, you know, to get it done. So I think there are so many different people and I love the permission that you gave to like, you know, you can have that goal, but you can also change it. And if you're a different person here, you don't have to beat yourself up about it. What do you do when you get to that space where maybe you failed? Someone has rejected you, a goal that you had. And I always joke with my kids. I'm like, Mom got a yes today. And they're like, how many no's did you get? I'm like, 9 no's. And they're like, but you got one yes. I'm like, one yes. And so we, you know, talk about that because I think they need to know, like, it's okay. You're going to get no's. You're going to get failure. So how do you get past that? Or how do you lean into that when you have failed on a goal or someone has actually rejected maybe a goal that you wanted?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, my teacher taught me not to over-identify with the failure. If you can recognize when you fail that it's not, I am a failure. It is this one time in my life I failed. What is there to learn? You are in a whole nother stratosphere, my friend. I used to over-identify. Oh my God, I failed. I am such a failure. And I would say that, and I would feel really beat down, because you are. It's your inner dialogue, really negative thoughts creating energy. And so the ability to not over-identify with the failure is such a huge step. And to recognize, oh, this one time in my life, I did fail. And this is what I learned. And here's where I'm going to go from here. Mm-hmm. An example of rejection, my best friend always says, rejection is God's protection. And I love that. When I'm out of it, I hate right. it when I'm in it. And I do find hindsight's 2020, which is gorgeous that we're talking in 2020. Because most likely there's always something to learn and there's always something to see. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've been so grateful for all the men I dated and made out with and didn't marry. I'm so grateful. And I'm so honored at the choices I made that didn't go my way, because 6 months later, something else came up that took me the way I was meant to go. Mm-hmm. This is leaning into trust. And it's really scary there when you've been rejected numerous times in
yeah.
a row.
Yeah.
And hope starts to feel dwindling. However, if we keep doing what matters to us, we keep aligning and staying true and keeping ourselves alive, alive being honoring the yeses and the noes, honoring the successes and the failures, then we can continue to show up fully. That is making an impact in itself. Instead of hiding, instead of playing small, instead of dimming your light around other people so they can shine, we can all do really well together and support one another, and belong. It's a choice we get to make again and again. And listen, when I'm in rejection, sometimes it takes me 3 days to make that choice, a month even. And that's my journey. I hope as I grow, it takes shorter time. And yet I can get hard on myself. I'm a 3, by the way, in the Enneagram, and I love doing. And when I don't do, it's hard for me. Mm-hmm. And every time I go to a vision meditation, she says, honey, you better slow down. Yeah, I talk to my future self. She's so wise. Oh, I love her. She's sassy too. And she's like, girl, you better slow down. You're going to miss it. And this shit's good. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And so it's cool as a doer to even challenge myself again and again to slow down, mm-hmm. knowing that life is truly in the details. Sometimes those details are rejection and failure, and we will tell that story. We will learn from it, and most likely we will lead from it every single time.
How do you slow down? So a lot of us are doers on here. What's a way that you slow down?
Yeah, that's a great question. My husband, I married a cook, by the way, so I never feel guilt because I have the chef that makes all the food.
Amazing.
And I know, I keep patting myself on the back.
Good decision. Very good decision.
I know. But my husband is so patient, and he really does slow me down. I think a lot of the times we have to think, oh, I have to do this by myself or I'm not good at it. I surround myself with slow people on purpose. My friend Brooke McCallery wrote a book called Slow. I talk to her every other quarter. She talks slowly. I'm like, okay.
I know.
My co-founder of my business, Mary Beth, is a Virgo and yet very embodied and likes to move and lead yoga in slow and creative ways. And so I surround myself with people that show me the way right now. It's not my natural state.
Yeah.
So I don't force it, but I do ask for help often. So my husband will... We have a phone monster, by the way. I know you talk about being present. You build it out of a shoebox. It's a monster. And my husband and my children can say, Mom, it's time to feed the phone monster if I'm on it too much.
I love it.
We feed the phone monster. I take Sundays off tech and screens. And I love hiking. Honestly, nature, I live in the trees on purpose. I could never live in New York, Christy. I'd go crazy because the outside would reflect the inside. And so I have chosen to live literally up a dirt road.
Yeah.
Because you have to go slower. My driveway is frightening in the snow. You have to go slower. I have evergreens surrounding me that grow slowly. Mm-hmm. And so right now, as a doer, I surround myself with slow to learn often. And I don't mind asking for help. because I can't do it by myself.
I love two things that you said. Number one is that you surround yourself with slow. So I am fast like you. Like, and that was too slow. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like, we're on to the next thing. I'm a very future thinker. And I love when I sit with people who, like, have that calming, like, just voice that's just, like, calm. And they're really thinking about it. And they're process, like, just completely, like, makes me go into this soft, patient mode. I love people like that. I think you're very wise in the Sunday. Like, I've been doing that this year, is taking off Sunday for tech. And I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who are doing that. And I think we get in this world of, like, we have to be in the know, and what if we're not on, or what if we don't get back to someone, or, you know, all those different things. And, like, again, life moves on. But that has been so freeing for my soul, to not be connected on Sunday, and to just be present, and to cuddle with my kids, and to look them in the eyes, and to go on. Like, yesterday we went on this awesome hike. I took no pictures. I did not, you know, Instagram it. I did not show anyone. Like, it was just for us. Like, I went with a friend. We talked. It was so lovely. I loved it. And I think that's so smart and great wisdom to give to those who maybe you're in that faster paced life, because you do miss the present. Like, that's the big thing, is how can I be more present? How can I be more in the now, instead of thinking about the future? And for me, I really have to work hard at that. And I do, similar to what you're doing. So I love that. One thing that you said earlier is not to over identify with your failures. And I also might add to that, for people not to over identify with their successes. And I think for me, that's kind of been my journey, is knowing that I am worthy and valuable and loved, and created on purpose, whether I succeed tremendously or whether I fail tremendously. So for me, it's both. It's not identifying with failure, but also not identifying with success, because success will not always be, right? So that's kind of been my, you know, my journey. One of the things that you talk about is room at the table for everyone. And I'd love to kind of end on this note. As those who are listening, who might be wanting to get in a space that other people are in, whether it be writing a book, or whether it be starting a podcast, or whether it be just okay to stay at home and love on their babies and not have to do what everyone else is doing, how would you help them or encourage them to do what they are created to do, because there's room for us all in all the spaces?
Yeah, this was a big lesson for me when I was starting my business, and I sat down with this lovely woman. I don't know if you've heard of Nicole Antoinette. She has a really great podcast called Real Talk Radio. I mean, the podcasts are like 3 hours long, oh, so super, super different, super intense. She's awesome though. And she and I were talking, and I was like, yeah, I am launching my business, and I'm comparing myself to, this was like the era of Brené, of course, Liz Gilbert, Danielle Laporte, Marie Forleo. I'm like, they're already there.
Yeah.
What do I do? She goes, I believe there's room for all of us. And I sat there and I was like, wow, I just felt that on that level of like, do I believe it? Oh, I want to believe it so bad. I want to believe that. That would feel so freeing. And so I would say it every day. I believe beliefs have to be practiced. I don't think this is some crystal ball session where I tell you there's room for you and then you just believe me. I think it's a practice, and you start to go seek room for you because you already belong. And we have no idea what's going to happen when you launch that podcast, when you take care of those sweet babies, when you step into a new career that everyone else is already doing. No one's going to do it like you. No one has your DNA. No one has your thumbprint. No one's going to do it like you would do it. And so we have to be able to recognize our strengths, know we belong, ask ourselves what we want, and start to create from that space. Everything is already out there, most likely. And yet, when you're creative, I believe everyone is. I don't think it's a one-way deal of art. I think everyone's creative. Create what you're meant to create and live a creative life.
Yeah, I agree with that so much. I think you will touch only the people that you were, you know, meant to touch, and the other people that you're comparing yourself to, or that I compare myself to, they won't be able to touch them because it's me, because it's my DNA, because it's your DNA. And yeah. I think that's that's what's so huge. Tell our listeners how they can connect to you. If they love this and they're like, oh, I want more. I want to know how to make those goals. I want to know how to set intention for myself. This wasn't long enough with her. How can I, you know, reach her? How can I, because you do coaching, you do one-on-one, you do a bunch of different things. So tell them kind of how they can engage with you.
Oh my gosh, it's such a cool knack to add what we just talked about. There's room for everyone. Mm-hmm. And what I know is I'm not for everyone. That was freedom as well.
Oh man, that still is hard for me though. I'm like, no, but I want to be for everyone. How can I be for everyone? I still have trouble with that. Just all vulnerability. I still have trouble with that. I'm not going
to
lie.
Listen to this. I know I'm not for everyone. But the people I am for, I have found, are like Will Ferrell in Old School. They're like, fill it up again. Fill that gold cup up again. And those are people. And if I try to turn that one person who doesn't like vision boards or goals, I'm in a world of hurt. I no longer speak my truth. I speak to prove and convince. And so for those of you who I am for, and for those of you who I'm not, I love you as well. You can find me at jackiecarr.com, JACKICARR.com. Or rockyourblissmovement.com. And I also have a public speaker course that really supports goals and your voice and your impact through 3 lessons. It's all online, all evergreen. And we're going to have a discount code for all of Christy's listeners. So this is where you can find me. And then, of course, Instagram, just not on Sundays, at Jackie Carr or at Rock Your Bliss.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jackie, for being on. I so appreciate it. I just want you to know that, you know, you are a force for good. You are helping others. And I love just telling my podcast guests, like at the end of the day, like if all this was stripped away and you never succeeded any more than what you're doing right now, which I know you are, or you failed immensely at something, that you are still worthy of love and confidence and you are impacting others around you, just whether it be on the hikes that you do and getting people into nature, whether it be supporting them in a goal or finding someone's passion that they've lost for so long or giving them permission to dream again when maybe they haven't or they failed in such a big way that they're scared to dream or to make goals again, that's the work you're doing. Like, I don't know if you, I know sometimes when we're in it, we don't understand, we don't sit outside ourselves and go, wait, this is what I'm actually doing. And so this is what I'm seeing in you. This is what some of your friends are seeing in you, that you are just being a force for good. And what you're doing is building on behalf of others. And that's one of my favorite lines, is that you're not just building, you could keep all this and to yourself and be like the most amazing person ever, but you're sharing it. You're sharing all the things that you know and that you learn, and you're giving it to others to do the same. And so I just think that's amazing. I so appreciate that about you, that you are truly building on behalf of others and you're loving others and serving others well through giving them the tools to live the life that they want to live and that they want to impact others. All of us want to impact others. I think that's our purpose, is to impact others, and you're giving them the tools to do that. And so I just appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. And I just thank you for coming on today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. I receive that fully. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's been such a privilege to speak to you and your people. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Jeanette, the Be Love podcast producer. And I wanted to let you know that our guest today, Jackie, is hooking up our listeners with 10% off her very popular Goal Speak course. Goal Speak is a self-led speaker training program created by motivational speaker and coach Jackie Carr. With videos, follow along, worksheets, and homework, the 3 Goal Speak lessons support anyone looking to level up. Head over to www.jackiecarr.com/goalspeak and use the code BELOVE to get 10% off and learn more. I'm sure this link will be in our show notes as well.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with our family today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We wish we could just hug each and every one of you and let you know what a difference you could make in this world. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, left a review if it inspired you, or shared with a friend, because we know word of mouth is actually what matters. And don't forget to share your stories at Be Strong Story on our social media of how you lived out the message of...
Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone.
Because we believe with our whole hearts that every person can make a difference and inspire another. See you next week. Don't want anything but